Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caleb Patterson from Midwest Muscle P4P Real Talk in the house, and this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in all of the world. And if you, yes you, are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to divide, to guide your goals and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's chit-chat with Rebecca. I am Kaylin Patterson. My co-host is Desiree Pacheco Brothers, and we combine together to become P4P Real Talk. And we have a lot of fun going on the airwaves, but we also have a lot of fun traveling through the different shows. And one of the shows that I was able to go to was the P4P North American, P4P, my goodness, I'm stuck on that name, PNBA. Natural North American, and we had a phenomenal lineup on stage, especially with such short notice. And one of those people just happened to be a guy who basically just blew us all away, and I'm talking about the judging panel, just an amazing individual on stage, great stage presence, great personality, and he definitely fits his category quite well. This guy was Arias Morris. Fascinating individual. I didn't get a chance to speak to him personally at the venue because we were still having a show that was going on after he had stepped off stage. Sadly, I wasn't able to catch up with him at the photo booth or the display where they were taking their pictures. But we were able to catch up with him to get him on this show. So as soon as he gets contacted with us, we'll get this show started. Desiree is on the road. Traveling, so we got to. She'll be calling in later as well. But one of the things I did want to talk while we do have the time is that there was an incident that happened locally, but it's just a microcosm of what's been going on in this nation, and it's hard to believe that we're getting to the mental state that we are. And I even made a post about this on social media about how we're morally declining in our mentality. And things that are basically considered normal should not be, and we should not be accepting them as normal. And we have to start fighting back mentally if we can start fighting back physically using our mind, not fighting each other, but fighting the understanding that there's nothing we can do. There's always something that can be done and something that should be done. And what I'm talking about is that there was an incident at our local Jewel supermarket, and a man was in line in the store and very upset about the new laws and new regulations that are being placed upon us, with one dealing being with a mask. And he became so frustrated and so upset that he decided that he was going to take action. Thankfully, he wasn't able to fulfill his goal of basically taking a life, but he did pull a gun and he did cock and load it, and he was willing to enforce his thoughts on the idea that he didn't want anybody forcing their thoughts upon him. And this simply cannot be acceptable behavior in a modern society. We have laws, we have regulations, but we also have the opportunity to come together as community and voice our opinions, voice our disagreements, voice our agreements. But all of these things can be done in a civilized fashion. I think with the decay of civics in our nation, we've also got a decline in how we interact civically. And I'm just amazed that there isn't more outrage about this. I see people saying, you know, we should be outraged about this, we should be outraged about that. But I'm more enraged about the decline in civics and the lack of civic activities that keep us as a society and a community. It is amazing that we are willing to go so low, so very low, and are thinking that we simply say, if it's not what I like, then I have a right to bear arms and go up against my own neighbor. And we call ourselves a civilized society, but this is not civil thinking. Civics is basically how we interact with each other, or disengage from each other. So we simply have to do a better job of this and we simply have to get better at doing what we do. So if we're going to be active in our community, if we're going to be active around our children, if we're going to be active in society, we should be doing it in a way that basically keeps us engaged in society. And if we're going to be doing things, let us make sure that we're basically interacting with each other with the intent to teach our generation a better understanding of how to engage with each other, instead of basically disengaging from society and saying, you know, if I don't have my own way, then I'm just going to do whatever I will and please. And this is not how society functions or acts. So if we're going to be doing these things, let us at least stay civically engaged where we can consider our neighbor what is going on. So I don't want society to keep speaking doom and gloom. We are society. Everyone that's listening is part of society. Everyone that's doing or not doing is part of society. And to say that there's nothing we can do as adults is not teaching the next generation much, if anything, other than to give up hope as soon as possible and hopefully get to a part of society where you have to do absolutely nothing and still survive the rest of your life. I can't imagine a society in that way. I definitely can't imagine the United States in that kind of thing. And I definitely can't imagine my own city doing such coarse and harsh things to young minds. I mean, these children are basically traumatized, and they have to live with that understanding for the rest of their lives. And I don't want that to be something that we can consider ordinary or normal. And I know we talk about how we're becoming desensitized to certain things, but the way to fight back is to keep the sensitivity level up and keep our children precious and keep our women and young adults ahead of the game, and as also as our elderly. We can't keep saying, you know, this stuff, nothing can be done. If we're doing nothing, then we're ensuring that nothing will be done. And I'm really tired of just the excuses instead of the solutions. We can find a way to fight back as a society if we fight back as a society and fight back as a community. And just saying, you know, this or that or my way, the highway, that's not typically my. And we're regressing and devolving, and that's just it's just not acceptable. Dad, you there?
I am here.
Hey,
I am here, and it sounds like we're on a very deep topic.
Yes, we are. I was talking about how, you know, just locally the other day, a person that is so enraged about having to wear a mask basically found someone in line and waited for them outside and pulled a gun on the children to basically force his thinking. And it was a very scary time. I can't imagine those children and what they, you know, if they were thinking it was their last day on this earth. And I can't imagine how they're going to mentally deal with, you know, what happened. I it's just shocking that, you know, something as simple as a mask. I made a post some days ago, but I was talking about the workers that were basically enforcing the policy that the place they worked had been telling them that they had to speak on, and that was, you know, you have to wear your mask. And people were wanting to beat them. You know, people were being shot. And this is just crazy to me that, you know, they have no say in what they're asked to do other than the requirements of their job and their duties on the job. And people are taking their anger and frustration out on them, but they're not doing anything for the policy that's being placed. We're not having town hall meetings. We're not doing anything that engages the improvement of what we're complaining about. We just complain and leave it at that. Well, now we have an individual in our own town. I mean, this is right maybe a mile and a half from where I live, and he's pulling out a gun and enforcing his view, and to the point where he was stopped and loading a gun to shoot these people because they didn't agree with what he thought and said. And I can't fathom this kind of understanding where we're engaging our thoughts and beliefs on the people who have no true say in changing this unless we come together as a community. And I'm shocked that, you know, no one really spoke out against this with the understanding that we have to do something. We personally have to do something to change this because our children mentally and physically are in danger. And I it's just so hard to fathom that, you know, we don't have people coming together more now because of that. Instead, it's about, you know, Republican, Democrat, this, that, pro, con, and the children aren't even being mentioned in these statements. I even made a post today, and what was shocking to me is that it was about this side or that side, and nothing dealing with these children whose minds have been traumatized. How can we overlook so glaring a fact and not address that first? If we're not addressing the children, then my God, what are we doing?
Well, the answer is we don't know what we're doing. That's why such mania is prevailing. And it's kind of a matter of where everybody is doing whatever they think seems to be right in their own mind, and that's just it. There is no justice, there is no reasoning, there's no nothing.
Yes.
And it's just minds that are overloaded everywhere. And this is probably just the beginning.
Oh yeah. I don't doubt that, and I think we have to do much better for the children. We have our guest on. Arias, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how's
all
it
right.
going, brother? Before we go any further, just give us a breakdown of who you are and what you've done, and we'll get this show started.
Okay, so I'm a bodybuilder from Colorado, Denver, Colorado, born and raised. Started bodybuilding, lifting weights around age 12. Fell with it and ended up playing sports and kind of translated all that that I learned in the weight room into sports. Went to college, ended up majoring in exercise sports science, got a bachelor's degree, you know, worked as a personal trainer for 12 years, and then now I'm a professional bodybuilder, and I've been having fun ever since.
Well, that is
yes.
awesome, because we all know bodybuilding, and then take it to professional bodybuilding, and you just rocking and rolling, dude. It is a lot of fun, except for when it's not, but it's mostly fun. So
yeah, absolutely.
We will leave it at that. So, yeah, listeners, we're making a little bit of a transition here, but that is okay. So, Ari is glad to have you on the show. Super excited. Before we get too far down the road with our time with you, kind of take us back. I mean, you gave us a little bit of an overview of your history, but kind of take us back to the beginning on what even actually got you started on this path to becoming a pro natural bodybuilder.
Honestly, it was my stepdad. He was my biggest influence and inspiration as a kid. You know, he was a avid weightlifter. He'd be in the basement, you know, benching 315 pounds. And to me as a kid, that was pretty impressive. That was amazing. You know, they produced so much weight. You know, I could literally see the bar bending, and so I was like, man, I want to be able to do that someday. And so, you know, I just asked for his help and his guidance on how to be able to be the biggest and strongest person I could possibly be, and he kind of guided me in the right direction, taught me how to eat properly, lift properly, recover properly, you know, the whole bit. You know, so he's been probably the major driving force behind me getting into bodybuilding and weightlifting, period.
Oh, that's awesome. One of the things that I've had to deal with recently is the mental and physical decline of one of our basically pioneers of lifting. And the guy took the other road where he took the enhanced lifestyle. So basically I told him, I was just talking to him recently, and I let him know he won the lottery when it came to having survivable genetics, because this man was one of the most juiced up individuals I'd ever met. And, you know, he looked phenomenal back in the day, but now, you know, 40 years later, he's on such a physical decline that it's hard to watch, especially someone you watched in the gym when back when we have the YMCA being the big gym in the area, and now to see what he looks like now, and it's just, it almost reminds me of when I saw the documentary about Earl Campbell and how he was just barely surviving, and he still wants to lift and he still wants to do certain things, but it's such a tear to his body that he's just in agony every time he lifts. So I'm glad to hear that you had a mentor that was going to bring you in the right way and address your body as well as your mind, you know, when it comes to aesthetics, how the right way to incorporate that stuff into your life. So how much did that mean to you in the beginning, and how much are you paying off the dividends now?
Moving forward with integrity was one of the major things that I decided when I took on bodybuilding. It was, from a very young age, my stepdad, he kind of hyped me up, you know, saying, like, if I ever stepped on the bodybuilding stage, you know, I'd take first place. He said I'd be able to pick you out of a lineup, you know, very easily, you know, because he would just always talk about how great my abs looked and stuff like that, and if I could enhance the rest of my body, you know, via lifting weights and eating and doing all the right things, and I can be very successful in this world. And you know, I kind of just took his advice, you know, to the heart and rolled with that. But I like the point that you brought up about the mental and physical decline that you see about some of these bodybuilders that you see, because the major shift is happening right now with the natural evolution and everything like that. And with people, you know, starting to see that you can build muscle and you can live a healthy life without taking, you know, all these anabolics and so on and so forth. And so moving forward, you know, doing it the healthy way is going to be the best way that anybody can, you know, live a healthy lifestyle and pursue a bodybuilding career.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So you are just recently coming off a win at the PNBA, let me get it all in there, North American. talk to us a little bit about, I want to hear about how that show went for you, but I'm really wondering, as long as you have been lifting, what attracted you to men's physique over men's bodybuilding, or is men's bodybuilding as a category still something that you have your eye on?
Okay. Well, just talking about the experience in Chicago, I love Chicago. You know, it's been my favorite show so far this year. Not just the show itself, but the people of Chicago. You know, they were very friendly, but not overly friendly. You know, and I just felt they were coming at me with with the genuine hospitality. You know, if that makes sense. Even though I didn't go out to party and see what the nightlife was like, I still got a feel for what people were like, and I really enjoyed that. Beyond that, the show was fantastic. You know, they got it all set up at the last minute because I believe Leaf, he got the notification last minute, and he was able to, you know, swing everything and get everything set up, you know, and he didn't miss a beat. And so I commend him on that. But also the venue was perfect. You know, the trophies, the prizes were all great. The way they had the venue set up, everything was just so smooth. I really enjoyed it. So I'll definitely be back to Chicago and definitely be talking to Leaf about getting to another show. I believe you do want one in October. I'm thinking about popping in that one, seeing if I can't get in.
Yeah, you should be talking about that small show called the Mayhem.
that's what it is.
Yeah. So, Leaf, I'm really proud of what he did because he stepped in, and to present the show that was presented with such short notice shows you what true passion is, and you got to respect that. You know, like you're saying, the way he addressed the athletes with such short notice, it's a definite compliment to the passion that he has and the drive that he has to make sure that the athletes are well addressed. And then, you know, getting a judging panel that can basically ensure that the show runs off well, that's always a plus as well. So, you know, when you're getting up on stage, I got to say, I'm going to just, you have that 3D stance on stage that comes with the good posing. I can't imagine how much practice you put into that. But one of the things that really impressed me is that you have a lat spread that can go from one side of the stage to the other. How much do you focus on the back during your routine, and how do you complement that with the posing that you do?
Oh, man, I really appreciate the compliment. You know, my lats are something that I felt was a weak point for me before, especially last year. And so it's something that I really want to bring out and work on and make it one of my strong points. And so, you know, a lot of bent over rows, a lot of lat pull downs, a lot of isometric contraction, things of that nature, and then also an increase in my calories. So for a long period, I was in a caloric surplus, and that allows you to stay in an anabolic state, so your body's able to build, you know, a little bit more muscle. So, anyways, I was doing, you know, all the right things, and you know, going through the pain of eating healthy and lifting weights and recovering from it, and then I was able to bring those lats out. So I appreciate the compliment because it's something that we are honing in on, and something I really just noticed. And it looks like you did notice, so I appreciate it. Along with the posing, the posing really doesn't take too long because they're really not long periods of time where you're on stage. So it's kind of like I just freestyle, to be honest with you. Whatever pose I'm feeling, I'll just throw it out there and then make sure it feels smooth while I'm doing it. But other than that, I mean, I'll practice in the mirror every now and then. But in total, it's probably about 20 hours a week, you know, between lifting and posing.
Well, it's good that you have a combination of both. And so I'm going to jump back to the myriad of questions I asked earlier. I asked way too many at one time. But why men's physique? What was it about that category
okay.
that caught your attention?
Absolutely. It wasn't men's physique that necessarily caught my attention when I first got into the game. It was really classic physique. Because I love training legs, you know, since the beginning. I love doing squats. I love doing deadlifts. And so I really want to showcase my legs as well as my body. And so, you know, I went to a coach and kind of talked to him and everything like that. He said, you could do classic physique. And your legs look all right. Your upper body looks really good. So I suggest I show to, you know, men's physique. And so he signed me up for men's physique and classic physique. And so I have taken first in both. And so he said, well, whatever direction you decide you want to go into, you know, I feel like you'll be successful in either one. He said, I think you'll be a little bit more successful in men's physique. And so I said, okay, I'll kind of go with that. And then, you know, as I was going along, we were just kind of playing with shows. And then he said, hey, if you want to hop in the show, I'll pay for your entry fee or whatever. And so I said, okay. And so he signed me up for all the categories, physique, classic physique, and bodybuilding. And, you know, he gave me all the necessary materials needed to compete. And so I stepped on stage as all three, had a blast. And, you know, I really, really understand the hard work that goes into all of them, because I had to find three different posing routines. I had to learn all of the mandatory poses for each one of them. I had to add my own style to each one of the poses. So it was a huge challenge, but it was fun. But now that I'm kind of honed in on men's physique, I feel like it's kind of taken my heart, if you will, because I've, you know, turned pro in it. I've won three pro shows as a men's physique competitor. I'm starting to get a lot more clients who are men's physique kind of geared. And then people, they just ask me different things about men's physique. I feel like my physique is it looks attainable for people rather than being overly big or anything like that, where it doesn't seem like, oh, I can't ever get, you know, that type of physique, even if I was, you know, on steroids or something like that. I don't want people to look at me and go like, that's something that I can't do. I want people to look at me and go like, man, I feel like I can look kind of like that if not like that, you know?
I got you. And, you know, I have to say I really appreciate the process that you and your coach went through in finding a, I guess, a home, if you will, in men's physique. You tried the different categories, and I am totally cool with that. But then instead of continuing to try to compete in multiple categories you know, show after show after show after show, you use that experience, your experiences to find your fit, and then you just went after it 100%. And I really appreciate that because I, well, small mini rant, and then I'm going to get on with it, but it always irks me when we have athletes that continue to compete in multiple categories and they win because they have the physique to win against who they were on the stage with, but really they shouldn't have won in multiple categories because the criteria for each category should be different enough that the same physique should not win both. You understand what I'm saying?
I completely agree with what you're saying,
Yeah, so I appreciate that you tried it, and I think that's cool because that's what you should do, try it all. But then find where you fit the best at the moment and then go after it. And as your body evolves, if you want to move up, then do that. But I just, you know, kudos to you for doing that. And then you sound like you've had so much success in men's physique. You were talking about 3 pro wins so far this year. Talk to us a little bit about that. Where were you at, and how were those shows?
Okay, yeah, so the shows were great. The first show was out in Minnesota. It was a IPE, International Pro Elite. And it was a pretty good show, but like I said, went out there. There's only 2 other guys who competed with me, so that was pretty fun. And then I went down to Atlanta. So there's a Supernatural Bodybuilding Federation. That show was pretty good as well. 3 competitors there, including myself, and then obviously the PNBA, IMBA, Pro North American. All shows have been, I feel like this is a dream come true, being able to take control of my schedule and be able to travel around, you know, North America to all these shows and have success.
Well, not just traveling around, but really engaging with the people. You know, you like, I'm going to tell you, you've got quite the stage presence, and it's much appreciated. And I know Dez and I both love when a pro is on stage being a pro, showing off a honed gift. So that's always appreciated, especially when we know that there's an audience that needs to see that, especially your fellow competitors in the amateur ranks, of what it takes to be a pro, because that sets the standard and the foundation of what's to be expected from the, you know, from the athlete as well as the people in the audience. So, you know, much love and respect for the way you present yourself. You had a tough group up there, you know, and one of the guys had come from the amateur ranks because he felt he had a shot. And, you know, standing next to a pro and seeing what it takes when you have that kind of mentality from an amateur wanting to compete against the pros, it's always nice to see true competition happening, because it's not very fun as a competitor to step on stage knowing the win is done before you get out there. And I know as an athlete, especially with you doing the traveling that you're doing, that you truly want to compete and you want to compete against the best. I think you're going to have a good chance going out there in Vegas with the Natural Olympia. And I really would love to see, you know, how you're going to address the changes that you and your coach have in mind to make an even better package on stage for that. But we're going to go back to the traveling to the shows and the competition and the understanding of how to truly compete on stage as a pro. What was the difference from competing as an amateur and winning a pro card as compared to getting on stage against other pro athletes and seeing the step up in the game that are required?
Yeah, as an amateur, I was like a deer in the headlights every time I stepped on stage. You know, I'd forget everything that I practiced with my coach, you know, my posing, my cadences, so on and so forth. And so, you know, I really learned as a pro to take a step back, take a deep breath, and realize this is just fun. The work has already been done in the gym. Like, it's just time to present what all the hard work that's been put forward. And so it's really just a paradigm shift in my mind from, oh, I need to go out here and perform, you know, work for all these people, to, hey, I'm going to go out here and have fun and show everybody, you know, how hard I've been working.
And that's that's how you have to embrace it and look at it. I mean, and for some people, they can make the transition flawlessly from amateur to pro, but that is an elite view. It really is a transition. But hopefully once you get there and you embrace it the way that you have, you make it your own. And so I'm just curious, I think so far, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been competing on all U.S. stages, and even though the Olympia is a U.S. stage, it's an international event. How do you think that element is going to, I don't know if change is the right word, but impact the way that you prep?
It's just going to elevate the way I prepped for that opportunity. You know, I've always been a competitor since I've been a young kid, since age 12. You know, competing in little league sports, all the way to competing in track, competing for, you know, grant money, scholarship money, so on and so forth. You know, I feel like at the end of the day, life is just a huge competition. You know what I mean? You're competing for a job, you know, with your peers. You're competing for, you know, food. You're competing for money. You're so on and so forth. You know, whatever it is. And so whatever you are competing for, you want to make sure that you are having fun behind it, whatever it is. And you know, like I said, it's just going to raise my elevation of preparedness, because I do have a lot of people who are kind of behind me and watching my story unfold. You know, people who really believe. And so I feel like I'd be letting, you know, myself down for one, and then letting them down for two, if I didn't try and bring my best package, didn't try and put my best foot forward, given that I have the opportunity and chance to.
No hanging with that. One of the things that I appreciate, as well as being a pro competitor and the traveling, is that you could be engaging like you are. And like you said, you know, when you guys were having conversations downstairs, getting ready to, you know, show yourselves on stage, it's always nice to share the information and your walk of life. When you have that opportunity, you don't waste it. So, you know, what makes you that giving individual, and what keeps you engaged with the other competitors? Like you said, because you're on there, you're on stage to compete, but you're also there to basically share a life story on stage and on.
Because you realize that all the hard work has that moment, regardless of what happens, you know, what's done is done already. You know, the hard work has already been put in. And once again, it's just that mentality of going out there and presenting what you have. And usually, you know, you have a good mentality. Like as an amateur, you know, when I was losing and stuff like that, where I came in second or third place, the thought wasn't that, oh, I came in second. Oh, man, well, now I need to come back and work hard. But staying close to competitors is easy, because there's not that many of us as far as pro athletes, you know, people who are willing to sacrifice, you know, having fun, you know, that drink at night, that feel that you'd have with some friends or family. A lot of people, they don't understand the sacrifice that it's to make in order to be in that kind of position.
True.
So when you get around
Very
people
true.
who kind of show up.
Yeah, we hear you. No, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. Yeah, so when you get around people who kind of are like-minded, it's easier to connect with them and stay connected with them. So I feel like that's why it's easier as a competitor, instead of making like a dog-eat-dog kind of world, to like, hey, man, like, all of our hard work is paid off. Let's go out here and show everybody, you know, what an elite athlete looks like. Excuse me.
Without a doubt. And, you know, and those relationships are so important. And I think my question is just going to take this a little bit further and trying to gain an understanding of who in the natural community motivates you. I mean, as other pro athletes, where do you draw inspiration from, if you draw inspiration from any of the natty athletes at all?
that's a good question, to be honest with you. And to be honest with you, like, When I first started this journey, I didn't really know that natural bodybuilding was on the uprise and on the up and coming and everything like that. To me, I would just go to the gym and work out for health purposes, and because I was an athlete life. So it was something I was used to doing. It was part of my daily life. And so, you know, when I kind of got pushed into stepping on stage by a couple of friends, and then, you know, pressure from you know, the right individuals, you know, I took the opportunity and jumped on stage. But to reach and pull motivation from other athletes, I feel like I get motivation just from great athletes in general. It doesn't matter really which sport they're playing. You know, I like watching boxing. I like watching MMA. I like watching basketball or watching football. I just like seeing great athletes, you know, be the best at their job and perform, you know, their craft to the best of their ability. You know, that's what really gives me motivation and drive. It's like, man, that person, you know, you can tell they've been putting in the work because, you know, everything just looks flawless about their performance. And you really appreciate those standout performances, and you become more of an athlete fan, more so than a team fan. And then that's where you draw your inspiration and motivation from.
Well, you know, Tuesday, we had two Hall of Famers in the natural community on our show, and they were just really excited for the new crop of Hall of Famers, of the natural athletes that have been staying, you know, staying natural, and basically over the years, just gathering a following, staying positive in their lives, and basically being great ambassadors for the natural community. And if you do make it to the PNBA Natural Olympia, you're going to get to see the Hall of Fame inductees for this year. Does that motivate someone like you to basically keep going and keep grinding, so you could possibly or potentially have an opportunity to be one of the all-time elite natural athletes welcomed into the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely. That would be a great desire of mine for the future. I am signed up for the Natural Olympia already. All I have to do is book my hotel. But I'm very excited for that competition. And yeah, being able to immortalize myself in the Hall of Fame would be something that I would love to do, absolutely love. It mean the world to me, and getting to meet all those guys and knowing that the hard work that they put in and setting the foundation for me to come forth and be able to be successful in the sport. I'm pretty grateful. I would love the opportunity. And if I do have that opportunity, I'm going to make sure that they understand how grateful I am to be in the position that I am today because of the foundation they have set forth.
Fantastic. Now, you had said that, you know, in the beginning, your lats you thought were a weak area for you, so you took a perceived weakness and turned it into a strength. But, you know, you're on a roll here on the pro stage in men's physique. Where do you see, or what are you focusing on to continue to tweak and improve your physique? And maybe it's just all over fine tuning, or is there like still a specific area that you really just want to, you know, blow out?
Yeah, there are a couple places that I do really want to improve. I still want to improve on my lats. I do just bring them out a little bit. I don't want to make them any bigger. I just want to make them a little bit more shaped. I feel like they're too round right now, and I feel like I'm holding too much fat or water or whatever it may be there. Also, my shoulders are something that is going to be a key emphasis in the next few months. And then my lower chest look. And the way I kind of do it is use different angles, use different ways, different sets. Like I said, I got my bachelor's degree in exercise sports science. So I kind of nerd out when it comes to my own workout plans. I'll do anything from 4 sets of 15 to 5 sets of 5 with heavier weight, lightweight, medium weight, doing all types of angles, doing all types of tempos, long tempo, short tempo, explosive, so on and so forth. You know, it's really easy to manipulate certain areas of the body when you understand it anatomically, like your back, for instance. You know, if you release slowly on a row on the way down the eccentric contraction, you're going to stretch your back and make it wider, or perceive to make it wider, you know. So it's kind of like an illusion when you step on stage, obviously. But, you know, so reel those things in. Obviously, gain a little bit more size. I want to add about 2 or 3 more pounds to my frame, and then I want to probably just hold that and keep it there. Other than that, I make sure I'm maintaining good conditioning, I'm staying high on the cardio, and then not letting my diet get out of control until then. So.
Well, you know, it's a grind, and it's a constant grind. But you've been doing quite well, obviously, with winning. But also with the win, you've been presenting yourself well each time. It's a grind, and I think some people see the wins, but they don't see the grind that happens to do that. So what were some of the pitfalls and what were some of the great things that happened along this journey this year? And can you share with the up-and-comers how to get through each and every trial and tribulation?
Yeah, so, I mean, you just have to have a positive attitude no matter what comes about. I mean, obviously, COVID happened this year. So, you know, at the beginning of this year, everything was it was sunshine and rainbows for me. You know, I'm working my two jobs, getting ready to start competing for the 2020 season. My first show was in February down in Arizona, and that was a beautiful show, a great arena, great weather, everything like that. And so COVID was happening over in China while this was going down. And so I ended up winning my pro card right before COVID went down. Luckily, like I said, my stepdad, he's got a weight set in the basement. And so I was able to, you know, commute to my parents' house back and forth and use the weights there during the whole bit and then eat healthy and stuff like that. And so when I got my stimulus check, the first thing I did was was book my first pro show because the thing I had been dying to do, get out of, you know, the house and quarantine and stuff like that. I need to compete.
Sure.
So I booked my first. What's that?
I was like, sure.
For anybody I needed to get out, need to move. And you know, being that I had a healthy immune system, I wasn't too worried about contracting and succumbing to it. But anyways, I went to Minnesota, won that first pro show, and then you know, went to Atlanta, won that one, and then went to Chicago and won that one. So it's been a long journey, and when it comes down to you know, those pitfalls that you see in the way, you just got to find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, if you really want to make something happen, you're going to make something happen. You're not going to let anything stop you, hold you back the whole bit. You know what I mean? I mean, the world was, you know, on fire, you know, for a while there. And then now everything's back to normal. And you see I'm competing. Now I'm on a radio show. You know, wouldn't have happened hadn't I taken the chance to go to Chicago and compete on that stage. So, you know, scared whenever I do things like that, but it's the ability to get that fear while you're in it that makes you successful.
No doubt. You know, and that is so true. We make time or we make a way for the things that we want to do. And so you all just remember that every time you can't do something because of this or because of that. If you really want it, y'all, I said it. I'll say it again, y'all.
You did. Gotta be smiling.
If you really want
like
it, you're gonna go after it. It might not happen in the time frame you want it, but you'll eventually make it happen. So just remember that. Now, Arius, y'all, it sounds like you're also doing some coaching and getting a lot more individuals who are interested in physique coming to you for guidance. So if we have a prospective athlete out there that's in your neighborhood and is interested in how they get a hold of you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. You just type in my name. I got a website launching pretty soon here. It's just going to be ariusnorris.co. And then if you're here local in town, Denver, Colorado, you'll be able to book an appointment with me. I also have mobile training available. I have meal plans available right now. I have training programs available right now and the whole bit. So any goal as far as exercise, wellness, health, and well-being, you know, I can make a program to kind of match it. So anybody who wants to reach out, feel free. I love helping people. I love connecting with people. So, you know, just find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, and then we can move from there.
All right, sounds good. So that's Arius, A-R-I-U-S, Norris. And
yep.
Arius, when we have the opportunity, we like to give our guests a chance to give shout-outs to anyone and everyone who has been supportive of them on their natty journey, and we'd like to give that opportunity to you right now.
Okay. Well, okay, so first I'd like to give a shout-out to my stepdad, Nick Johnson. I'd like to give a shout-out to my mom, Vicky Johnson. I'd like to give a shout-out to the mother of my child, Maria Cortez. I'd like to give a shout-out to all my family, all my friends, my coach, Wadi, and my buddy, Nick, who's always been there to help me. So I appreciate you guys. Love and respect.
Awesome. And I think that brings us to the end of our time here. So, Kalen, one last thought before we wrap this up.
Well, I know that I was high on Snickerdoodle when I saw him compete, so I was really happy that day.
We're not even going to work on rephrasing that. We're just going to leave it like that. Hashtag high on Snickerdoodle. That's what we
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. So, Arius, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing your energy and perspective. And we wish you all the best. You are just definitely on fire right now, and I hope that flame just gets brighter in the coming months. So do keep us posted, and we look forward to hearing from you soon. And, you know, folks, if you're going to get high on something, maybe it should be chocolate and not Snickerdoodle. I don't know. Something to think about.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciated you. I'm just so lost in this last little bit here that I just need to say. On behalf of Arius, Kalen, myself, the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a